Radha says, O Lalita, when Krishna was in Vrindavan, his ever-increasing love for me made me easily consider my religious duties to my husband as something exceedingly insignificant. How painful it is that he no longer loves me. I'm embarrassed that I am still maintaining my life in this body which has now become an unbearable burden. I do not know the words which most effectively can be used in a message to him. If I say, I love you more than my very self, then he will consider it pretentious. If I say, I cannot live without you, it speaks of my selfishness and fades the glory of love. And if I say, why do you not come back to Vrindavan? Then it will reveal that we are always thinking of him. O Sakhi, before, when Krishna loved me, these forest groves gave me such pure joy. And these trees were then the cause of unlimited pleasure to me. Now that he has become indifferent, all of them are simply causes of suffering. When her lord ignores her, then what girl would not look upon the whole of creation with distaste? Oh, dear Lalita, will Krishna ever call me again by force from the assembly of beautiful-eyed women, all unsettled by feelings of love for him due to the sounding of the sweet melodious notes of his flute? Will I ever gaze with a look of maddened love into the eyes of that lord of mine, whose dancing eyebrows have ruined the religious vows of all the chaste girls of Raj? O well-wishing friend, long past is the day when that naughty Krishna, so greatly eager to enjoy with me, found me in a cave in Govardhan, where I was playfully hiding from him. He grabbed hold of me suddenly, pulling me to his chest as I feigned anger. In the end, my breasts were left marked with hundreds of half-moon-shaped scratches. When, in the beginning of the sweet autumn season, filled with the sound of buzzing bees in mountain caves, whitened by waves of silver moonlight, will I ever wrap that Govinda tightly in these arms as we battle one another in Cupid's erotic war games? My mind is burning up. How terrible. What should I do now? I can see no shore on either side of this great ocean of suffering into which I have fallen. I am making this prayer to you with my head bowed. Somebody, please tell me how I can cross over, or at least how I can have the patience to tolerate this situation. If Krishna has really become the foremost of the hard-hearted by leaving me, then let it be so. He is free. As for me, my only hope is to apply myself to my marriage duties, or for death to come and take me. But who could endure his coming here to Vrindavan on the pretext of my dreams and forcefully ravishing me against my will? This improper behavior of his is giving great distress to my mind. So you should immediately go to Mathura and stop that irresponsible boy from acting in that way. Oh, friend, do it quickly before he comes again and at the beginning of my dreams tears off my waist belts in a frenzy of lusty passion. Listen, it's not just in dreams that he comes either. Don't suddenly disbelieve me, thinking that I've gone mad, but listen to what I've experienced directly. How surprised I was when your friend Krishna unexpectedly came to the forests by the side of Govardhan and started to demonstrate his professionalism in the game of love. I ran away from his touch, trying to escape into the deeper woods where it was dark and he would not be able to see me. But he could tell where I had gone by the sound of my ankle bells, which only tinkled louder as I quickened my step in fear of being caught. Then he came near me and playfully moved to touch me. So eager was he that his eyes positively gleamed in excitement, and he became unaware that his flute had slipped from his hand and fallen to the ground. Osaki, then being unable to get away from him, I covered myself with the thick vines decorated with smile-like flowers and began to whimper in trepidation, saying, "Don't touch me, you fiend!" Then that friend of yours started laughing and jokingly lifted my head so that he could kiss me with his lips, which glowed as bright as the bimba fruit. I had hidden the flute in my braid, and so being afraid of discovery, I feigned anger and began to slowly walk towards the mountain. But then he pulled my hair to stop me from going. Thus discovering the flute, he said, "I've caught you now, you thief," and began to carry me off by force to imprison me in a nearby cave. Another time I was in the grove of Madabi vines, when that impertinent youth crept up from behind and forcefully covered my eyes with his hands. I became so irritated and went to snatch his fingers and push them away. But as I did so, he suddenly disappeared. Osaki, I don't know where that king of cheaters has gone and hidden. Oh, simple one, these are all incidents of the past. Enough of them. Look before you. Your friend is here now, his face decorated with a honey-like smile, and like an ocean of erotic love sports, he is throwing a red banduka flower at me and making suggestive motions with his pillar-like arms that he will come to embrace me right now. Oh, friend, don't be shy. Get up quickly and tie that miscreant up with your thick necklace of pearls before he runs off to Matora again.